Okay. Today's daf is daf Mem Dalad. Mem Dalad on Beis Cheshrin. Daf Mem Dalad. Says the Gemara, we are on daf Mem Gimel on Beis. We were discussing the Ksivas HaKsuba. And let's start again from Umigva Me'emas Gavya. About 12 lines up from the bottom. Umigva Me'emas Gavya. The Gemara says that there's a discussion whether the father has the rights to the ksuba or not after she becomes a nesua. That was machlokas hatanaim in the Mishnah. But either way, me'emas gavya, according to Rashi, the question is, when do lukuchos, when does shibudim start from when the ksuba is written? In other words, usually we have the concept by a milva bishtar, that if I lend you money bishtar, so then any kind of transaction that I do after I lend you money, all of those properties really have a prior lien on them. And therefore, if I end up not having enough money, then whoever I owed money to could go and collect from those lukuchos, from those buyers of my land, because my creditor's obligation became first. But what about by Iksuba? Me'emas Gavya, when does that start? Yes, it was written at a certain point, but as we said yesterday, Iksuba is not a normal type of obligation. Iksuba is written today, but it's only going to be used, let's say, you write Iksuba, and then you have the wedding a little while later, and then you have maybe using the Iksuba 25, 35, maybe never, but in the future at some point. So Me'emas Gavya, when does the issue of Lekuchos begin? Amar Rav Huna, so Machlokas. Rav Huna says, Manu Masai Mena Erisuv at the Seventh Mena Nisuin. Rav Huna says, the Iker Ksuba, 100 for a Be'ula, 200 for a Besula, starts Mena Erisin, meaning Shas Ksiva Saksuba, and Tosefes Mena Nisuin. The extra amount that's added on by the husband out of the goodness of his own will, also the Chacham say you should add on, but also that the extra is Mena Nisuin. For Rav Asi Amar, Echazev Echazev Mena Nisuin. Rav Asi says, no, both, even the Iker start Mena Nisuin. Why? Why does the Iker start from Minan Nisuin? So Rashi says, last skinny line, Tehi gufa machlo shibuta kama, v'nisratza bizman akasa b'shtar aksuva, g'chola mefurish, b'im b'Iker, b'im b'tosefes. No, she is mocheles. She says, I'll go by the later date. The later date is right before, let's say the ksuba was written right before the wedding, which is what we were assuming yesterday. So even though, I think I misspoke before, the Gemara here is assuming that, like Rashi or the other pshatim on the Mishnah war, that maybe even beginning of Erisin, you might say that it goes by. So we say, no, it goes by the later time in Anisuin, according to Rav Asi. The Rashba has a little different formulation than Rashi, what the Svara is for Rav Asi, and that is, because even if you write a Ksuba min ha-Erisin, why does a person write a Ksuba min ha-Erisin? Why would anybody write a Ksuba min ha-Erisin? So says the Rashba, only because maybe he's worried that something's going to happen during Erisin. He really wants to marry this woman. He did Erisin to her, so says the Rashba, we could say that once Nisuin takes place, it's not specifically that she's Mocheles, but that the whole Ksuba was written initially only for this period of time. Because why else would you write a Ksuba now? They're not married yet. It must be that he's just committing to her that I love you so much that even during Erisin, if you become an Amana, or this Gerishin during Erisin, so I'm going to take care of you even then. But once Nisuin comes, so then the first thing doesn't have any teeth. The first star doesn't have any teeth. Says the Rashba, Kivishanisseis ina govim al lukuchas and minanisuin. Why? Shlo kasavze elam bishum chash misa v'gerishin kodem nisuin. If he knew for sure that they were going to have nisuin and there wouldn't be any death of the divorce, he wouldn't have written it. That's the umdin das of shneim. So it's not like Rashi says, oh, she's mocheles. No, but that the first ksuba was specifically written only for this time period. Okay, so those are two ideas in Shidis Rav Asi. So now says the Gemara, Omiyam Rav Huna Hachi, did Rav Huna really say this? That what? That the Iker goes by the earlier time, and the Tosefes goes by the later time? Says the Gemara, V'ha Idmar, but we have another Brisa, about 10 lines up, Hotzia Olav Shtei Ksubos, Achash Abasai V'achash Shalosh Meos. Woman comes to Bezdin with two Ksubos, one for 200 and one for 300. The one for 300 is dated later. 200 and 300. Rav Huna says, you have a choice. Basa ligvos masayim go mizman rishon. You want to collect the one that says 200? Fine. Then you could go by the earlier star, the date written in the earlier star, and you could collect from lekuchos, right, from buyers of the his properties, even from the earlier time. Shlosh bios, you wanted to get the 300 ksuba, so then go with mizman hasheni. So then you go by the second zman. But you have a choice. You could collect with either star. V'im isa, and if it's true what Rav Huna says, that a later star that the Iker goes by the earlier time, and the Tosefes goes by the later time, so then Tigvi Masayim is Ban Rishon, Umeyam is Ban Sheni. So then why don't you split it? Say 200 by the early, let's say you have the Ksuba of 300. So collect 200 from the earlier time, because 200 of that 300 is the Iker, and then 100 from the later time. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, Ula Taimech Tigvi Chamesh Bios. Why stop there? Why stop that you can always get 200 earlier and 100 later? Why don't you collect 500? Well, I have two shtaras here. One says 200, one says 300. So why don't you just say, he wrote her two ksubis. Kula Masayim Bizman Rishon, 200 from the earlier time, because that was the Iker. And maybe say the whole second shtar is Tosefes. Tlas Me'am Bizman Hasheni. Why don't you even go that far? Say you could collect 500. The first ksuba was the Iker, the second ksuba was all Tosefes. Ella what? Chamesh Me'os Baitayim Alogavya. Why do we say that she cannot collect both shtaros? Why do we assume that the second one is not totally Tosefes? Kiva de lo kasavla savisi v'osifes l'chatlas mea amasayim. Since he didn't write a language in the second suba, I am hereby adding on to your ikker an additional 300. Since he didn't specify that this is an additional amount, hachika amarla, it must be he's not adding, but he's just giving her an option. It must be he's giving her an option. That's what it means by the case of 200 and 300. So hachanami, back to our case also. Hainu time midlo gavia, midlo kasav lo usifas l'chameya amasayim. You know why? In our case, the first one, you collect 100, you assume that it's not adding on to the first star, because you assume that this isn't a Tosefes, because it didn't specify it in the language of Tosefes. He just gives another star, so it must be that he's giving a choice. Achuli achli shibud akama. She's really mochelis, the earlier shibud, and therefore, you cannot collect both. Rashi points out, though, on the fourth line, by a regular ksuba, you do write it in a lashon Tosefes. So if you do write it in a lashon Tosefes, so that's why it's called a Tosefes, and you could say that it is adding on to the Iker and not instead of. That's what Rashi says in the fourth line, Avagabi Tosefes, Hamosef, Bechalaksubis, Amano Masayim, Kosvinbo. We write Vosifisla, right? Vosifis bin delay, Hamisha Kesav Sarf, with the language that we hear when somebody reads the Ksubas. That's the Shita of Rav Huna. That really, if there are two, you have a choice, but if there's a language of Tosefes, I'm adding on, then you'd be able to collect both. Period. Amar Mar, third line. Ibaya Bahai Gavi, Ibaya Bahai Gavi. It's not an exact usual Amar Mar. Usually Amar Mar has an exact quote of what we said earlier. Here it's the idea of what we said earlier. Because Rav Huda said before, you could collect from either one. From the 200 from the earlier time, or from 300 from the later time. So this isn't the exact language that was quoted before, but it's the idea. Ibaya Bahai Gavi, Ibaya Bahai Gavi. So that was Rav Huda. Person comes to Bezin with two shtaras, you have a choice which one to collect. In the case of the get. In the case of the ksuba. Shall we say that Rav Huna, earlier, who said you could collect both staros, is arguing on Rav Nachman? The Amar Rav Nachman says, in a Dini Mamanis context, not in a Ishus context, Shnei Staros Hayothin Bezachar Zeh, if I have two documents that I received a piece of land from my friend, the same piece of land, Bitel Sheni Esarishon, the second one is Mevatel, the first one. Meaning you go by the second one. That's the same as Rav Nachman. You have two shtaros that basically say the same thing. Reuven sold it to me. Reuven gave it to me. We'll get into details in a few minutes. Reuven sold it to me twice. We'll get to which case he's talking about. But if you have two documents about the same field, then the second one wins. So isn't that against Rav Huna? Rav Huna says you have a choice which one you want to collect from. Two documents. And here we say no. You have to go by the second one. So Gemara says, no, lav mi yidmar la amar papa. Didn't Rav Papa explain Rav Nachman? Umod Rav Nachman di osif beidikla l'tosefes kasvei? Doesn't Rav Nachman admit that if the second shtar has an additional element, then that additional element must be there in order to give the person the choice which one to collect? What? After all, if he added on l'dikla kasvei, meaning let's say he added on a new tree. The first document says that Reuven sold Shimon a field. And the second one says Reuven sold Shimon a field plus a tree. Right? So obviously that was written, Rashi explains, obviously that was written in order to give the person holding the shtaros the option of collecting with the second star. Because why else did he write the second star? With the additional point. Right? If it was the exact same thing, so maybe fine. Then you might say Bitel Sheni Esarishon, as we'll get to. But Rav Nachman would admit that the second one is not Mevatel the first one if there's an additional element in the second star. And that's what we're talking about earlier. Because he wrote the 300 star second. Hachanami, Osef Lamitis. There's no stira between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. When did Rav Huna say you have a choice? When the second star adds something onto the first star. So then the guy is saying, you know what? Collect whichever one you want. You want to collect the earlier date because I don't have any money and you want to go back to my creditors, the people that I sold to? So then fine, use the first one. You want to go, you get more and use the second one? Fine, but you have to go by the later date. But after a while, he write a Tosefis? So Rav Huna is talking about a case where the second star adds something. Rav Nachman is talking about a case where the second star does not add anything. And that's why the second star is mevatel to the first one. After a while, you write a second star. If it's the exact same thing, why'd you write a second star? So that's why, that's the shita of Rav Nachman. No stira between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. So Gufos, now that we brought up Rav Nachman, let's talk about him. I'm Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman comes to court. So you're the Dayan. You're the Dayan, and a person comes to court with two documents that say he got a field from his friend. Which document do you go by? Shnei shtaros ayosim b'zachar zeh. Bitol sheni esarishos. That was Rav Nachman's statement. That two shtaros, one after another, about the same piece of land, the second one wins. The second one ruins the first one. So Amar Papa, what case is Rav Nachman talking about? As we just said, Omod Rav Nachman, if the second shtar adds anything, then the second shtar, we assume, is not nullifying the first shtar, it's rather giving a choice. If the second shtar is adding on something, so then it must have been written to give the holder a choice. So what's the case that nothing is being added on? That's what the Gemara wants to know. What's the case that Rav Nachman is talking about? That the second one nullifies the first one, and therefore we say that the second one is totally being mevatel to the first one. Pshita Rishon b'mecher v'sheni b'matana. If the first one says that Reuven sold Shimon the piece of land, Shimon comes to Bezdin holding the documents. So the first star, the earlier star, says Reuven sold it to me. The second one says Reuven gave it to me. So there, says the Gemara, I understand that the second one is adding something. The second one is better for the person holding the star. Why? Liapus kochahu de kasavle. It's giving him more strength. Mishum dina de bar mitzvah. Because the law of the borderer. The bar mitzvah. What's the bar mitzvah? There's a law that if you sell, halacha, if you sell a piece of land, if you sell a field, so then, as long as you can get the same price from your neighbor, you should sell it to your neighbor, offer it to your neighbor first, the adjoining property. Why? Because anybody else could go find another piece of land. But there's no sweat off their back. But in a case where it's your neighbor, he can never have this option again. Maybe he could build a nice big field and do something with the adjoining properties. That's Dinah Bar Mitzvah, the law of the Bar Mitzvah of the borderer, that the buyer and the seller, the buyer especially, he shouldn't make a big deal about getting this piece of field. Let him go buy something else, because he's not losing anything. And let the one who's on the border get this piece of land. So in a case where the first one I sold it to me, and the second one it was given to me, then bar mitzvah doesn't apply. So I'm better off. Why? Because you can't say to me, hey, don't take this piece of land from him as a gift, because go find another gift somewhere. Who says I'm going to get another gift somewhere? So bar mitzvah doesn't apply to matana, only applies to mechira. So I'm much better off, because if nobody can come complain to me if I got it through a gift. The borderer can't come and say, you know, why'd you do that? What do you mean I could have said, I could never have gotten this anywhere else? So that's why the bar mitzvah doesn't apply. That's what Rashi says. To Kaimala we hold matana less baby shabdina to bar mitzvah. There's no bar mitzvah when it comes to matana. So where the first star is a sale and the second star is a matana, so that's not what Rav Nachman's talking about, that the first second one is about to the first one, because there the second one is adding something on. And we just explained, if the second one is adding something, it must mean he's giving the choice. So that's not what Rav Nachman is talking about. By the way, where's the source of bar mitzvah in the Torah? Is there a source? Oh, so it's the Ramban in Parshas Veschanan. Ramban, it's a pasuk, but the Ramban explains it. Pasuk Veschanan, it's a well-known Ramban in the world of Rambans. The Asisa Hayasher V'Hatov Be'Eni Hashem. The pasuk says, "You shall do what's right and what's good in the eyes of Hashem." Kedarka B'Kodesh, the Ramban, just like he does by Kedoshim Tihiyu, does also here. The Asisa Hayasher V'Hatov Perek Vav Pasuk Yudches. This is not stam a general, you know, nice pasuk. Do what's right and good. Says the Ramban, no, there's a specific message here. Rabosenu Bir Bazeh Medrash Yafeh. The Rabban said that the Chazal say this pasuk is referred to Lefnim Mishuras Adin. What does that mean? You have to go beyond the letter of the law. First, the Torah says you have to do all this. You have these 613 laws. do's and don'ts. 365, 248. The Raman says the Torah says all the things that we have to and are not allowed to do. V'atayomar. And then the Torah says, gam ma'shalot sifcha. Some areas I didn't get to. Tein daitecha la'asos hatova yosha be'enav. In every situation in life, says the Ramban, think what the Torah would have said about this situation. Is it possible for the Torah to have said everything? Gihu ovei tova yashar. Hashem loves the good and the right. V'zeh inyan gadol. This is very important. Lufi she'i efshar lahazkir b'Torah kol hanhagas ha'adam im shcheina v'reya v'chol ma'aseh b'atar. Is it possible for the Torah to say every situation, what to do in every situation? It's impossible. The Torah is a finite amount of words. The Torah might give you a message implicitly. But that's what this pasuk is telling you. V'yasisa yashar v'atov. Do what's right and what's good. Even where the Torah doesn't specify, you know what the Torah would want in every situation that is not recorded in the Torah. And the Rabban says, and that's what the pshat is, what Chazal say related to this pasuk, pshara v'lefnim mishur es hadin, kigon v'dina de bar mitzra. Dina de bar mitzra. What, it's a law that you have to sell it to your neighbor? No, it's just nice. That's yashrus. Yashrus means if it's no sweat off your back and no sweat off his back, he'll go find another field. So then, at least sell it to your neighbor. Right, talk nicely to people. Says Ramban, that is dina de bar mitzra. The same idea is quoted in the Magen Mishnah at the end of Hilchos Shechinim, where the Rambam talks about dina de bar mitzra. So that's what the Gemara said, that if the second shtar is going, making it into a gift, so then there is no problem. It is a positive thing for the second one, and therefore it must be that the owner is really giving him a choice. The Ritva even uses this Ramban on our Gemara, where he says, if the Baal Meitzar comes and says, you know, let's say it this way. Tosfos says, let's go back a step. Tosfos says, he's going to have two shtaris in his hand. So Bezin is going to know that he lied. The first one was a mechel, the second one was a matana. So isn't Bezin going to know that, you know, it was originally sold, that he gave it to him, he switched? So Tosfos says, an amazing line, last wide line, v'yatznia oso shel mecher, hide the first star. That's what he's giving him the second star as matana. He's basically telling him, hide the first star. So nobody knows about it. That's what Tosfos says, Zimir Shneim, because if Bezin obviously sees both, Bezin's going to say, hey, this is really a star mecher. They really sold this. Tosfos says, you hide it. Says the Ritva, no. Even if he doesn't hide it. Because, well, you're going to hide it? Are we trying to? Bezin is advising him to trick, right? To hide it. I remember the Nesivus, because the whole different side of the Gemara, we're not going to go into it now, because he can't fathom this. If Bezin's going to tell him to do this harama. So the Ritva says, no. He says, because the whole halach is based on dinin de bar mitzvah. It's not based on a bona fide, you know, something you have to do, but something that you should do, so that as long as the guy has any kind of taina, he says it's a matana. The first star wasn't really real. The second star is real, that even if he has both stars in front of him, we believe the recipient of the sados. So the Ritva says you don't have to come on to what Tosfos says, that you have to hide the star. He says, Kiva de matzronis eino elamishum, hayasher vahatov. Ein lanu alav klum ela bedaver mitzvura beedim obishtar v'chol she'ein sham raya. If he doesn't bring his own raya, ein lahashbiyo, he can't make the guy swear v'lo lahachrim lafan v'fanav she'ein zeh hayoshav hatov. It's not yoshav hatov to be able to give this the bar mitzvah extra power. So the Ritva discusses what Tosfos says about having to hide the shtar. Okay, let's continue. Yeah. So originally there was a document of sale, and then he gives it a document of a gift. So we're not sure exactly what. So according to the Ritva, if he claims that it was really a gift, so then we believe him.
So did he get money for it? Yeah.
So we don't know. We don't know. The guy comes with the two documents. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says we hide the shtar. We hide the shtar mecher, that it really seemed to be was a sale, and we allow him to then change and give him the power of a matana. So says the Gemara. So fine, if the first star is a mecher and the second star is a matana, so we realize that the second star is more powerful, and therefore the second star is giving a choice to the machzik hashtar what to do. And surely the opposite now, says the Gemara. The koshkein rishon b'matana v'sheni b'mecher, if the first star was a gift, and the second star says it as a shtar mecher, as a sale, There also we understand the second shtar is giving a power to the machzik shtar. What power? Ziyamrinan mishum tinin zabal chovu the kasav kain. Because now there are shibudim, there are liens. A shtar mecher always creates, if I sell you something and then it comes out that this land was previously owned, or you own money and therefore this land is going to be taken away from me, I can go back to you now. Because a shtar mecher has what we call achrayas. It has the seller obligates that if something happens that I can go back to him. Not by a gift. By a gift, what kind of achray? I gave you a gift. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. So you can't, there's no achrayas as simple there is by a balchov. So that's why there's a koach to the shtar mecher that the shtar matana doesn't have. So there too, we would say that that's not the case of Rav Nachman. Because again, Rav Papa explained Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman's case of the second shtar being mevatel the first shtar is only where they're exactly equal. So we said if the first shtar is one and the second shtar is the other, so that can't be what Rav Nachman's talking about.
But this issue never benefits the buyer.
This issue never benefits the buyer.
It ruins the buyer.
I'm saying, what do you mean? It ruins... No, but Matana, it also, he would be able to... By Matana or Mecher, it's taken away from him.
So regard,
it gains by him because he has achrayas to go back to the seller to now get something, give me back my money or something like that. He has achrayas to do that. So Ella says the Gemara, what's the case of Rav Nachman? Ishneim b'mecher, shneim b'matanos. That's the case. If they're both documents of sale or both documents of gift, bitul shenis harishon. That's the case of Rav Nachman. If you have the same exact shtar twice, that's where he says the second one nullifies the first one. So now we ask, my taima, why do we say the second one is b'matal the first shtar? Maybe the second one's an extra one. Why should we say the second one ruins the first? Why shouldn't we say the first ruins the second? Machlokes. Rav from Amar. Amer Oduye Odile. Rafram says, you know why? Because we assume once the guy accepts the second shtar, he's admitting that the first one was false. He's admitting that there was a reyasa, there was a problem with the first shtar. That's where Rafram Shita. Rav Acha Omar, no. Amer Achule Achle Lishubude. He's not saying the first one was wrong. He's just saying, I'm mochel what the first one could have accomplished for me, and I accept what the second one could do for me. So I'm mochel. So that's a machlokas, Rafram and Rav Acha. Is it that I'm saying the first one was false, or am I saying the first one was true, but I'm being mochel, and I'm only going to accept from the second one? Tosfos asked the question in Dibur Maskil Amar, what difference does Mechila make by Tushtar Matanas? Tushtar Matanas, I'm only from the second one. What's the difference? So Tosfos tries to come up with a hechitim, see how there would be a difference between the two shtar matanas. The Ran says no. The Ran says simple. No, this line, the mechila shita is only going on the two shtar mechers. That's where there's a machlokas. By matana, everybody agrees to Rafram. By two shtar matanas, everybody would agree with Rafram that he's saying the first one was false because mechila doesn't make sense. There's no issue of mechila when it comes to the two shtar matanas. My by Nahu, what's the nafkamina between the two shitas of Rafram and Rav Ada, whether he says I'm being mochel or I say the first one is false? Three nafkaminas. Ika by Nahu, orue sahadi are the witnesses that saw on the first star false witnesses. If he is saying that the first one is false, so he's declaring that they're false witnesses and therefore they are psulim. The edim are psulim. According to the second one, the first star is fine. According to Rav Idi, the first star is fine, but it's just that I'm mochel on the koach of the first one. So that's what Rashi says here. Just read Rashi for a minute, because Tosfos argues. Orue sadi hachasum and barishon. L'rafram psulim l'ravach l'ksherim. Says Tosfos, if I declare that a shtar is false, the witnesses are a puzzle? How does a person have that power? I could say, oh, the shtar is forged. Therefore, the edim are psulim? Rashi says, psulim. Tosfos says, "Hechite echetesi." Tosfos ika, "Tema gedolahu." Mashmirish bekuchus lifsol edim. Then you call lifsol edim in yizeh. I didn't bring any proof. All I said was the first star is false. How can you passel edim? Says Tosfos, "No, this is the pshat. Maybe this is what Rashi means. No, it passels the edim for himself. Meaning, let's say he has other staros signed by these same witnesses. So then those staros are passel for him because he's passeled." He said these edim are passel. That's what Tosfos says. Nir lari dim yish lazem akabel matana shum shtar acher shu edim elu chasumin bo marin le the shtara. So if he has any other shtara signed by these same witnesses, so then that's what causes problems. We'll get back to that in a minute. Let's just first continue, and then we'll get back to that idea. What's the second afkamina between whether he says the first star is false or I'm just mochel? Number one was saying the edim are false. V'lishlume peyre. Does he have to pay for what he ate in the interim? If he's mochel, that means he's saying that it really wasn't his. If it really wasn't his yet, he's going by the second one, that he's going to have to pay for what he ate in the interim. Ulitaska. Who has to pay taxes on owning the land in the interim period? So if you say the first one was false, so the buyer has to. If you say the first one was true, then the seller has to. Period. My havi alo d'ksuba. Let's get up to the Mishnah. What do we paskin about the issue of ksuba, meaning original question that we started off today with, when do you collect the ksuba from? So tashma, tam Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel, mishum, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, mana, masayim, and erisin, for the seventh minute nisuin. First shita was, the ikr goes by the erisin, the tosefes minan nisuin, v'chom omer mechazev echazev minan nisuin, v'hilchasa echazev echazev minan nisuin. We go by nisuin, like the second shita we had before, the shita of Rav Asi. We go like Rav Asi over Rav Huna. Okay. There's a Mishnah Melech that brings up our Gemara. He says in Hilchashchita, Perek Aleph Halacha Chavav. The Rambam talks about Ne'amonis of a Shochet. So the Mishnah Melech says, he quotes the Tshuva of the Maharik, Nishal Maharik Kolon, Shorish Lam and Gimel, Al Dvar HaShochet, Asher Heyer Lov Eid Echad, Sheshachet Shaloka Hogan. You have a Shochet where one aid said that he shechted improperly. One aid, Eid Echad. So does that aid have any power? But the Shochet says, what are you talking about? Right? So the Vahu Machisho, the Shochet contradicts, Im ha'ed mutter le'echo mishchitaso olo. Could the aid himself, now that we don't believe the aid, because the Shochet is Machish, does the aid himself, is he allowed to eat from this butcher shop anymore? Meaning, what's the question? Nidmeo lahi, like what principle should work here? Shavya nafshe. Shavya nafshe works by Yisurim, right? Pesach Pasuach Masasi we had earlier in the Masechta. So do we say a Shavya nafshe here? That's the discussion of the Maharik. V'shayach lomar, the Shavya nafshe chadicha d'Yisura. Aval hacha lo shayach lomemer hachi. Says the Maharik, you don't say Shavya nafshe here. Why? Da'afilu em yeh emes shalo shachar achshav yafeh. Even if you're right that he messed up on the shechita that you saw, who says this one wasn't good? Who says the next day's wasn't good? Aval mikal makom ein mukhla li pasal olamis. That's the Maharik. Says the Mishnah Melech, I don't understand that chilek. Just because you saw one thing bad, who says the next thing was bad? What does Shavya Nafshe mean? What does Shavya Nafshe always mean? Ve'eni maven hay chiluka. Dolamalo neva Shavya Nafshe chadich l'isura. Sof. If two Edom came, what if two Edom came and said the Shochet messed up? So what, you say also, he messed up in the past, but who says he's going to mess up in the future? Can't say that. Shavya Nafshe establishes a relationship, what you're allowed to trust about this person. So too. So do we? Hakanami lagabi didei kishne edim dami v'shavya lahi l'didei ki ilu bo edim lagabi alma. An amazing line. Shavya nashe. What you say about him, it's as if has the ramifications to you as if two edim came, ramifications to the world. Meaning a very strong approach of ne'amanus. V'shaper shavya chaticha disura shlo lechal mishchitaso. What's my raya? Ubehedya mashmakein from our Gemara. Ksubas daf mem dalid. Because what does it say here? What does it say here? The guy could say, these Edom are possible. The first star is false. And what did Tosfos say? The Edom are possible to me. I can't pass them to everybody else, but the Edom are possible to me on my other stars. Exact same case. Right? If a person said, the Shochet, I'm not going to trust his Eid Echad, but he can't eat from this butcher Shechita, because he just passed them. That's Shavya Nafshe. So that is the Mishnah Lamas extension of our Gemara, from a case of stars to the case of Shechita. Okay, next Mishnah. Next Mishnah, the next couple of blot are about the halacha Motzi Shemri. Motzi Shemri is in Parshas Kisese. A man comes and says that my wife was not a Besula. She was a Na'ara Besula. Na'ara Besula. Na'ara Besula. You have to have a Na'ara Besula. That's when the halacha applies to, as we'll see in the Gemara. She says my wife was not a Besula, so it depends. If she ended up not being a Besula and she was Mizanet during Erisin, then she's Chayav Misa. But let's say he brings Edom. How does he prove it? He brings Edom, and then something happens to the Edom. The Edom are disproven. We're going to get into, hopefully, the discussion. Does it have to be Hazama or even Hachasha? Rashi here quotes, second wide line, the aid of Zomamin. Rashi takes that stand, that Shita, that let's say the Edom that the father brings are proven to be Zomamin. So what's the Halacha? So the Edom are put to death, right? Because they try to kill this woman. The Edom are put to death. And the Halacha is that the husband, Chiddush HaTorah, Misa and Malkus. Misa and Malkus. Even though we usually had the principle in the last parak called Kimle B'drav Aminei, you don't have both. This is one of the exceptions. The Torah itself says that Misa, that Mamon, he has to pay Mea Kesef, knas. He has to pay 100. And the yisru also. And he gets lashes. There's also a chiddush we're going to have tomorrow that Moshe Shemesh is called a chiddushu. He's getting lashes even though it's a lav she'ein b'maisa. He didn't do anything. It's just dibur. He hired these witnesses to testify falsely. That's also a chiddush. It's a lav she'ein b'maisa, and yet he's getting whipped. He's getting malchus. Usually that's also a rule breaker. We'll get to other rule breakers. What does it mean chiddushu? Tomorrow's daf. Achlokas, we've shown him what exactly chiddushu means. But either way, that is the halacha Moshe Shemra. If it's true, she gets killed. If it ends up being false, so then the edim are put to death, and he has to pay a fine and to the father. He has to pay a fine to the father. Right? He has to watch as a mea kesef, but also lavia nara, and he gets malchus. So here we go. Hagioris, that's the regular din. So the Mishnah is going to talk about an unusual din. Hagioris in Nisgaira bita ima, a gioris that the daughter is Nisgayer with her. Why does it give this case? The Mishnah is just trying to come up with a case where you have a very young gioris. So as it says, usually a four-year-old doesn't come by herself to get converted. Therefore, she comes with her mother. Either way, you have a very young gioris. Rashi says the chiddush is even if she's above three. Even if she is less than three converted, and therefore she still has a cheskas besula. Even so, still for this halacha of Moshe Shemra, she is not considered a regular Bas Yisrael. Vizinsa, and she is Mezana Hareza Bechenek. Even though a regular case of Moshe Shemra, the woman gets skila, the girl gets skila, Nara Amarasa, that's Mezana gets skila. In this case, based on, we're going to see a pasuk, Rashi quoted here. Yeah, Rashi already quotes it. She gets chenek. She gets strangulation. She doesn't get skila. Because the pasuk says by Moshe Shemra, ki asasa nevala bi Yisrael. That means she's got to be a Yisrael from birth. She's got to be Yisrael from birth, even though she's a cheskas psula here, because she converted less than 3 years old. Still, the regular laws of Moshe Shemra would not apply. She would not get skila here. She would get chenek. And also, Ein la lo pesach beisavah v'lo me'asela. The other halachas also don't apply to her. She does not have to be taken out to pesach beis aviha. The pasuk says that usually we take her out to the door of her father's house. Rashi quotes al Torah that because we want to embarrass the father somewhat, because look what happened to this girl. This girl is mezana, so we take her out to her father's house. And in this case, he does not have to pay me'asela. That's the gzeiras hakasef. It's only by gesa nevela b'Yisrael. So the halacha of skila and pesach beis aviha and me'asela do not apply in this case.
So yeah. In normal case, he pays 100 seller and he gets malchus and he gets misa, all three things?
He doesn't get misa. The witnesses get misa. Because he didn't do it. He hired the witnesses to testify that she was...
It's a rule breaker, right?
It's a rule breaker that it's mammon and malchus.
Mammon
and malchus. There's misa to somebody else. There's misa to the Edim. He's not getting killed because he didn't do it. He didn't do it. The grama. It's gram misa. But you don't get misa for gram. No, right now, after the first, what do you mean? How is the mother?
She's Megayer with a child.
Let's say there are two non-Jews, mother and child, and they both convert.
Yeah.
That was the case.
And then she gets married.
And she gets older, right? She's a Jew now. She's a Jew now. She has a cheskas basula. Who's marrying her off? Okay, so let's say it's a good question. Let's say she's a Nara. She's marrying herself off. She's a Gdola. Right, Nara can marry herself off. And the halacha applies by a Nara. No. There's halacha in the Torah is if she's a Nara, there is a Beisav. But here, in that case, there is no Beisav because there is no father. Okay, the Gemara is going to talk about it. I mentioned that Rashi says that the case is even if she's Megayeris less than three. The Rambam on this Mishnah, the Pirush Mishnayos, says no. Different than Rashi. This halacha of getting chenek and atzkila, you know why? Because she is a cheskas be'ula. Because she was megayeris above three. That's how the Rambam seems to understand our Mishnah. Not based on the chiddush of kiyasa nevo b'Yisrael, even p'chuzim b'maskimo. The Rambam says, because she is a cheskas be'ula. And the Achronim point out that it seems to be that the Rambam was chozer bo. Because in Mishnah Torah, he quotes this halacha, and he says, even if she's megayeres, p'chuzim b'maskimol shanim. So the Rambam seems to hold like Rashi, at least in Mishnah Torah, during Pirush Mishnayos here, he does not. Period. Okay, let's finish the Mishnah. What about if this girl was not born a guy? She was harasa shlo b'kedusha. She was impregnated while her mother was a non-Jew, but she was born after her mother converted. So what about that case? Is that enough Jew in order to for all Moshe Shemra apply? So the halacha is, it's a mix. Harezu b'skila. She gets skila, like a regular Moshe Shemra case, but the Ein lo Pesach Beis Av v'lo Me'asela, because when the father, it was connected to her, right? The father wasn't Jew. It was, she was still a guy at that moment when her, she was impregnated. So then there is no halacha Pesach B'Sha'av, and there's no halacha of Mea Kesef that the perpetrator, the Moti Sherem, has to pay Mea Kesef to her father. But if everything was after her mother converted, so then then she's considered a total Jew. Yeshla, period. So now the next case. What about a regular woman, regular Jew, regular Jewish woman? Yeshla av ve'in la pesach beis av. Let's say they're homeless. Let's say they're homeless. They have no pesach beis av. She has a father, but not the pesach beis av. Or yeshla pesach beis av ve'in la av. Or let's say they have a house, but she has no father. So then, harizu beskila. So then they would still get skila. The halachas aren't connected. Lo ne'emar pesach beis av aviha, says on the side, el lemitzvah. No, pesach beis aviha is just lachanchila, lemitzvah. But if there is no father, or is there pesach beis av, then you do skila anyway. There's a question that the Marsham asks. He does not answer. It's just merely the question. So he could throw out the question. He says, he was makshi, asks on the first case of the Mishnah, by a case of giyores shenis gaira bekanusa. So giyores shenis gaira, that is a case of ger katan, like we have back on Dafyan Aleph in the first parak. So ger katan, we know, we learned there that they have the power to walk out. Right? Ashley, when she becomes a gdola, she has the power to walk out. So why, how could she ever get misa? Asked the Marsham. Isn't that what's called hasra'a safek? Hasra has to be bavadai, warning. Meaning, the hasra has to be, if I go to you and say, if you do this aveira right now, you are going to get this punishment. And if you say, I'm an askein, I know, and I'm going to do it anyway, and you do it, that's good hasra. But let's say there's a factor that even if I give you hasra, and even if you go through with it, maybe you shouldn't get punished. For example, if I say to you, you know what? You know, if you hit this person, you know, you're going to be chayav misa because it's your father. And let's, the guy was born in the seventh month after his mother was divorced. So you're not sure if this is his father or if the other one is his father. The Rishami said, that's called hasra safek. You can't say you're going to be chayav misa if you hit this father. There's a safek. Even according to one of the mandamar, if he is both people, both potential fathers. That's a machlokas already. But that's what's called hasra safek. If there's another factor involved that might undermine the chiv of the act, that's not good hasra. That's called hasra's suffix. A hasra that's in doubt. So here too, ask the Marsham, why isn't this hasra in doubt? You say, if you do this by Nara Marasa, she might walk out.
She's not a katana anymore,
meaning what? So that's what some suggest. Meaning we said that maybe she cannot be mocha anymore once she started behaving like a Jew. Once she started behaving like a Jew and wasn't mocha. So maybe that's an answer to the Marsham's question. But he asked it originally. If she could always get out of it, Hari Kol Ger Kajas Garbikanusu Yuchol Limchos. Vidipsa Shim Yasu Bahari Zu Asra Strafik. Okay, so that might be start of an answer. Maybe she already started acting as a Jew. I'm saying, but then you have to, in order to put anybody to death, you had to have had Asra. Then he'll bring Edom. Yeah, he'll bring Edom that she wasn't a psula. He didn't know about it, but now he'll do his research. And he'll find Edom. Okay, so he has to find Edom that she was Mazana. B'shas Eirusin, right, you're right. That's the whole halacha Motzi Shemra. He's got to bring the Edom. If he doesn't bring the Edom, then he has no idea. Okay. Says the Gemara, Minani Mili. How do we know? Rashi says, this is going on the second case of the Mishnah. How do we know that a girl who was impregnated, the mother was impregnated when she was a Goya, but she was born Jewish, how do we know that she is not considered a full Jew regarding Motzi Shemra? Amar Yishlakash Damar Kra, Umesa, L'Rabos Harasa Shalom B'Kdusha L'Yasa B'Kdusha. V'Mesa, that halacha of, and she should die, includes this woman for Misa. I'hachi Moka Nami Loki, Umea Sela Nami L'Shalim. Then why isn't she a full Motzi Shemra halacha? If she was born Jewish, so what? That her mother became pregnant with her when the mother was a guy. Maybe all halachas should apply to her of Motzi Shemra. So Amar Kra, no. Vamesa. It says Vamesa. La Misa Nizrabs of Lolaknas. We only include this girl for the Misa halacha Motzi Shemra. Meaning she gets Skila, but she does the other halachas of Motzi Shemra. The Misa and the Malkus do not apply. Ema, so we say 1 second. Ema l'rabos harasa v'leyasa b'kdusha. Maybe the word v'mesa, don't jump a step. What's the first level chiddush should be? Maybe it should include a girl who has a convert mother. Even if she was impregnated and born when her mother was totally Jewish. The Gemara said, no, that can't be. Why? Because ahi, Israel's ma'al yisahi. That girl's totally Jewish, 100%. She was the fine. The mother was a Gioris, but she's totally Jewish. Tosas points out the only time we have a difference in halacha between somebody whose parents, whose mother or father is a Jew or a Gerim, but they were born Jewish totally, is by Chalitza. A bezin of Chalitza we had back in Maseches Yevamos, second Tosfos. That's where we would say that for a bezin of Chalitza, even your parents have to be born Jewish from birth. Right, but by other halachas we don't say that here. That's why the Gemara says misvara. Of course, this is a full Jew. The Emel Rabos Harasav. Okay, Emel Rabos Harasav Lidasa Shlo Bekdusha. Maybe it's coming to include a case of where the mother did not convert until afterwards. So Im Kain Bisrael Mayahanile. No, if it's about a Gioris itself, if the Pasuk is including a real Gioris, that she converted and she was born non-Jewish, so then what does the Pasuk tell me of Kiyasa Navol B'Yisrael? It's got to be something Jewish. So therefore, it can't be a full guy, it can't be a full ger. It must be that the extra word in Motzi Shemer by Vamesa is including this middle case, where her mother became pregnant with her when she was not Jewish, but then she was born Jewish. Period. Amar V'Yosi Barchanina, HaMotzi Shemer Al Yisoma Pater. Machlokas Amaran. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, if you motzi shemra on a yesoma, pater, shneamar, v'nasnu la'avi hanara, prat luzu she'en la'af. Right? If there's no father, then the halachas of the regular halachas of motzi shemra do not apply. Mazar Rabbi Yossi Bar Arvin v'itim, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zav, zvida, v'imoyin yimein avi ala rabos yesoma la'knats, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. 1 minute, we have a brisa that says, at least by the knas of onis ha'mafata, even if the father's not there, right, you give it to the yesoma, you give it to the orphan. So why don't you say the same thing here? Just because she's an orphan, why don't you say it goes to her? So humosif la humafarik la. Bibal lev achach nisyasma. You're right. By a regular knas case, it also would not go to her. It specifically says la avia. What's that case that it goes to her? That's only where the father was alive at the shas of onis hamafata. And then she became a yesoma, that's where she would get it. But if she was a yesoma at the time of onis hamafata, so then the halacha would not apply at all. So therefore, there's no difference between knas and between onis hamafata and motzi shemra. They're all knasos. That's why we could compare them all. That's the first sheet. The Rabbi Yosef Bachanina says motzi shemra on a yesoma is pater. Rava amar chayiv. Rava says no chayiv. Mimai? Why? Mitzatani ami? Because we have a brisa that says besulas yisrael velo besulas gerim. What's who's included in this halacha motzi shemra? Only a Jew besula, not a ger besula. So, if you say that a Jewish yesoma would be chay, would receive a knas, then you understand this drasha. Be Yisrael chayiv, hayna de Yisrael kolam utegeir. That's why you would say a besulas ger is excluded, because the besulas Yisrael who doesn't have a father is included. So then a ger who halachically does not have a father, you have to come and teach me that they do not get it. Ele'i amet be Yisrael ki agavna patr. But if you say a yesoma Jew does not get it, so what do you need to tell me that a Psula Gioris doesn't get it? She has no father anyway. So Hashem Yisrael Pater Begir Miboi. So says Rava, that proves to me that a Yesoma, who is a Jew, does get the Knas. And that's why you needed the Drasha to tell me that a Yesoma, who is not Jewish, does not get the Knas. So it's a Machlokas Amoraim about Moti Shemra on Yesoma. So there's something to say about that, but remind me tomorrow we'll start off the first thing, a Hakira, about the Mea Kesef that the father gets. Is it through because of the daughter, or was it because him per se? And that relates to Yisoma. But first, I want to finish. Amar Ish Lakish Hamoti Shemra Laktana Pater. What about the next case? What if you Moti Shemra on a Ktana? So then, Rish Lakish says, you're Pater. We had these 10 lines already a few blad ago, right? La'el Memo Base. Shenamar. But Asula Via Nara, Nara Moli Dibra Kasif. Though everywhere else in the Torah, when it says the word Nara, it's spelled without a hay. Here it's spelled with a hay to teach me that a Ktana is excluded. It only applies to a real na'ara, the real case of Moti Shemra. So, Maskelor of Achabar Abba, Taima Techazab Hanara. The only reason you're saying it only applies to a na'ara, not a ketana, is because it says na'ara with a hey, halaf achi. But if you wouldn't have had that drasha, havamina filu ketana, you would have said even a ketana would be included in these halachas? Come on, v'haksiv, it says, v'yamasal yahadavar azef, it's true, lo nimsu psul na'ara, if the husband is able to prove that his wife was mezana during erisin, v'osivas na'ara pesa v'yus galua. You'll stone her. The katana la bas onshinis. How could you possibly say this? Parsha is about a katana. A katana is la bas onshin. Katana is not going to get punished. So obviously the parsha is not about a katana. So what do you mean? You have to have the darshan from the extra hay? It's obvious from the content. So Ella, this is really what you do with the extra hay. Kan Na'ara. Here it says Na'ara with a hay. So ha, we darshan call makam shenemar Na'ara without the hay, afilu ketana b'mashna. Just the opposite. We say no. Everywhere else it says Na'ara without the hay, it includes even ketana. Here you don't need Na'ara to really teach me that ketana doesn't apply here, but you're just really using it to teach me outside. There's a question the Rishonim ask, and that is, why can't it possibly be that all the halachas of the shemar would apply even by a ketana? Just the ketana wouldn't be killed. But the husband, you're right, of course the ketana won't be killed. But maybe all the other halachas would apply to him, the husband. So Tosfos earlier says, because part of the punishment of the Motzi Shemra, part of his ketana is that he tried to kill her. So if she's a ketana, the whole thing falls away. Because he couldn't be trying to kill her, and that's why the halachas of Motzi Shemra would not apply. So that's not Tosfos, that's the Shita B'Kubetzis earlier. We had earlier on Daf Mem Amud Beis. Tosfos also deals with the question earlier, but that was the Shita B'Kubetzis' possibility. Period. Okay, we'll stop here. And we'll stop. You know what, we have 30 seconds. Let me just say this. The 30-second Chakira, so we can start off new. There is a Chakira that is, the Birei Adat here has it. Chakira Yishlach Kor. Why the Torah gives the Mea Kesef to the father in this case? In a case of Onis HaMafateh, fine, you give it because of what happened to the daughter. But here, the daughter was embarrassed. Nothing happened physically to the daughter from the husband. But the father is also a mizbayish, right? He also has to go out to the Pesach Beis Aviyah. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim, is this Knas HaMea Kesef going to the father because of the embarrassment that the daughter had, and he owns all the schuyas of the daughter, or is it no direct? It's more direct to him because he was mizbayish. And an afkamina might be this case, that might be the machlokas about a yesoma. That might be a machlokas about a yesoma. Is it really, even when the father's there, going through her? Or is it dafka going directly to him, and therefore if he's not there, it wouldn't apply? Okay, there's a discussion in the acronym about that, but that is a chakira. We'll start tomorrow with Sneak. Today's share with the Rafu Shalema. Moshe Yosef Ben Chayesa.